You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
And when all hell was breaking loose yesterday afternoon in the NFL, Miller and Moulton were texting each other going, you know, Tuesday might be a good day to have Pat Kerwin on. He of NFL Radio is moving the chain. CBS's NFL Today Show. He joins us once again, courtesy of Pinchers, Tampa to Key West, all points in between. Pinchers, where you can't fake fresh. Okay, fastest deal you ever did, because the Bears signed DeAndre Swift in 14 minutes. First signing of the day yesterday was 12:14 p.m. DeAndre Swift to the Bears. What's the fastest deal you ever did?
Well, all my fastest deals involved Drew Rosenhaus. Drew is one of the great deal makers of all time, and I used to cheat a little bit with him. I'd always find out what flight he booked back to Florida. And if he was coming to my office at 3 o'clock and he had a 5 o'clock, I knew we were going to get the deal done real fast. I used to say to Drew, you never missed a flight in your life. So, yeah, if you both understand the market and see the market the same way, you can do a deal in 10 minutes. You can. Because everyone knows. But it's when you don't see it straight and square. Here's a couple of things I'd say. We're not even really to the start yet. We're in day two of the tampering. Well, actually, as I said to Mark, we're in day 22 of the tampering period. But we're already in one-year deals. This is a phenomenon that used to not start till next week. But when guys, I think we did 12 one-year deals last night. It's not even the start of free agency, and guys are panicking. And I was on with Mitch Morris yesterday, and he's like, you know, if you wait, you get left at the altar. It's musical chairs. So he was really representing the fear of most players. So when I start seeing one-year deals in the first overnight, that means these guys, they don't – here's something I think the fans don't get. 50% of the free agents hate free agency. They don't want to be in free agency. They want a contract. They want to be know where they're going. They don't want their wife to be, you know, nervous and complaining. And most players, and I'd say it's more than 50%, but for sure it's 50%. And we're going to run out of the big fat money in about 24 hours, and then all of a sudden panic's going to strike all these guys.
The running backs got paid a little bit, Pat. Were you surprised by the contracts given to a lot of the running backs yesterday?
Well, Barkley's a very good player. Josh Jacobs. How about the Josh Jacobs deal? I mean, I got to hand it to the Packers. A bunch of one-year deals, and they control the option on it? They can get out from Josh Jacobs anytime they want.
Well, Pat, the other thing that I loved about it is that, think about it, all their tight ends and wide receivers are first, second, or third-year guys. So, and they have a quarterback who for one more year is modestly priced. So if for a couple years their running back is making $12 million a year, well, they can afford it because every wide receiver on the roster is making $1 million.
And by the time they have to pay them, Josh will be done. But they can get out from under Josh. I mean, I'm surprised more people haven't. Look, I think that deal is great for the club, but I also can't believe he did it on day one of the tampering. That's the kind of deal you settle for next week. But he did. So to your point, Mark, you know, the running backs, they're getting picked off. You still have Aaron Jones and now Joe Mixon. Those are good players. They're coming onto the free agent list to join Derrick Henry if you need to get somebody. And there's always the same old standards, Kareem Hunt and Dante Foreman. So you can still get a guy to be your second or third back. So, yeah, I am surprised they got some money, and I'm surprised they got it on day one. But Barkley and Josh are pretty good players.
When you look at the Falcons right now, let's just assume, you know, they have a solid draft. They don't do a whole lot more flamboyant and free agency. How good do you think they are with a healthy Kirk Cousins?
Well, it's a division that's winnable for anybody except Carolina. So three teams can actually wake up today and think, we can win this division. I think they'll be fine. I wish they had not fired their coach, but getting Cousins, you know, it's kind of like Russell Wilson going to Pittsburgh. Did you upgrade your position significantly? Answer is yes. And if you get from Kirk what he's done in the past, he'll do fine. And we'll see. I think he's going to recover. I said this on your show the other day. I talked to a team doctor who said, get over thinking these Achilles and ACLs are dangerous. We're repairing them quickly. So, yeah, I think he'll do fine. I think he's going to put them in a position. Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins. Who do you want?
I'll take Kirk.
David?
Oh, I'll take Cousins.
Yeah. So if you have the best quarterback in the division, yes, you have a chance to win the division.
You brought up Russ going to Pittsburgh. Just your thoughts on the dynamic between Russ and Tomlin and how that's going to work out.
I think that's the reason he's going. I think Mike Tomlin did his recruiting job, got alone with the kid, shared his dream for what this team still can be. And I think Russell's looking for a reinvention stop, and this will be it. He'll be there. Mike Tomlin will like him a lot. I don't think Mike Tomlin was crazily about drafting Pickett, from what I know. That was a last-minute deal. They pulled that name down, and I don't think he liked it. And I think this is a nice way to get out of it. And for less than $5 million, they've got two quarterbacks on the roster. And that's important for their club. So we'll see what happens. They can always franchise. If he plays phenomenal, if he ever returns to Seattle for him, they have franchise tag him next year.
I will say this. There's two factors I thought at work there, Pat. One is that Russ has played a few times against the Steelers. I believe he has 8 TDs, no interceptions, and he's beaten them both times. And secondly, even now, if you think Russell Wilson's not close to what he was, if you look at his play action numbers, he's an elite quarterback still off play action. Well, look at who his offensive coordinator is now.
Right.
Arthur Smith of the Falcons, who does what? Run, play action. Run, play action. This could be a perfect offensive coordinator for him.
Yep, I totally agree with you. And Russell, you finally have Russell in the right frame of mind. Humble. He's not a cocky guy, but when he went to Denver, I was there the first week of practice. He was acting like, with his office, with the way he was handling himself, he saw himself as the savior of the team, which he wasn't. And then, of course, when Peyton came along, that was oil and water. That thing was never going to mix right. So it's an opportunity for him, and his agent is out of the equation for a year. His agent is a problem. His agent tried to do it, and I thought he was going to try to do this. I thought he was going to try to get a guaranteed second year at $45 million. As he goes, I'm giving you the $1.2 million discount. You give me $45 million on the other end for the second year guaranteed. And then you get my guy for $23 million a year on average for two. And they said no. And Russ is going to land up doing something that's probably going to get him thinking like he was when he was 22. Competitive to get to a contract. He hasn't had to do that in a long time. He's going to do it now.
We'll see how that offensive line plays for him, because I still have questions on Pittsburgh's offensive line coming off of last year. So to me, that's still a question mark on that team. But the Dolphins, you know, we thought it was kind of a tough day for the Dolphins, Pat. Losing Wilkins, Hunt, they were never going to be able to pay. Wilkins, they were never going to be able to pay. But all in all, your thoughts on what happened to the Dolphins yesterday?
Yeah, people that listen to my show think I'm critical of them. I'm not. But I'll say something I know you two agree with, because we talk about it every year. When you have a quarterback on a rookie deal, you build the rest of your roster. And while they have the quarterback on the rookie deal, they're losing talent. They just got over the cap and they got themselves to a safe spot at $4 million. So they're fine numbers-wise, but they're losing players. When I looked at them yesterday, they really are going to lose 6 starters from defense. This is the number 10 defense in the National Football League. They have literally no defensive tackles on the roster. If you go look at the tackle list, it's moving fast, if you will, and they're not going to get anywhere near what they had. So when you lose 6 starters from your defense and you don't have any defensive tackles, now the three of us talk all season, when teams can't stop the run inside, it's a major problem. And they lost their defensive coordinator, who had enough of the egos that were there. So your coordinator's gone. You're going to lose 6 starters on defense, and you don't have the cap space to attract 1 big-time defensive lineman, and there's none left anyway.
Washington, Minnesota, the Rams, and the Jags were all very active yesterday. Now, Minnesota with the high-profile guy they lost in Kirk Cousins, but they did a lot of maneuvering yesterday. But just any one of those four teams, Rams, Vikings, Jags, Commanders, they all made 4 to 6 moves yesterday.
They did, and I'm glad for – well, let's start with Washington, brand-new head coach, tons of cap space. In fact, I don't even think they're aggressive enough. They can go out now and pick off a bunch of guys that are still left on the list. And there's always going to be some players, and part of it's because we cut guys, but they can get after going after Hunter if they want to. They can get to Kendall Fuller if they want to. They can bring back Curl if they want to. I hope that they can bring in Derrick Henry if they want to. Calvin Ridley, there's plenty of guys, and they got the cap space to do it. So I like where they're going. Minnesota was a subject on our show yesterday. It'll be another one today. The fury of those Viking fans. They don't like Cousins, but now they realize they don't have Cousins. They didn't get Russell Wilson. They thought they had the perfect place for Russell Wilson. And you go right down the list. What are they? They couldn't even get Minshew, for God's sake. You know, and they thought yesterday, oh, we'll just go get Minshew now. No, you're not getting Minshew. And they don't want Sam Darnold, who's coming there now on a one-year deal. They'd be better off with Joe Flacco.
I think they would have been better off trading a sixth-round pick for Mac Jones, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay, there's a question for Mark. Mark, if Mac Jones, who's been to a Pro Bowl, can get only a sixth-round pick, what are you getting for Justin Fields? Nothing.
Nothing. And I don't know if would the Bears trade him to the Vikings for a fifth?
Detroit traded him. Well, you know, they probably would like to play against him because they know what he can't do.
Wow.
Well, didn't Belichick trade Bledsoe to Buffalo?
And lawyer, and yeah, absolutely he did.
Didn't Philadelphia trade McNabb to Washington? Tickled to death to do that, too.
He's Pat Kerwin, NFL Radio's Moving the Chains, CBS's NFL Today Show. Joining us once again, courtesy of Pinchers, Tampa to Key West, and many points in between Pinchers, where you can't fake fresh. Pat will stick around for another 10-minute segment. He'll do it on the other side. Thanks so much for listening. Miller & Moulton, MillerandMoulton.com.
You're listening to Miller & Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes past the hour. Our remaining moments with Pat Kerwin of NFL Radio's Moving the Chains. Weekdays 3 to 7, if you've never listened to Pat on NFL Radio. He's also part of CBS's NFL Today Show, and he joins us once again, courtesy of Pinchers, Pinchers, where you can't fake fresh. It's an interesting move by the Eagles, going with Saquon for big money. They've been pretty proud of not spending big money at that position and running the ball down people's throats for the last 5 years while not spending money at that position. Were you surprised that it was the Eagles who paid Saquon?
In a lot of ways, yes, but I think of Saquon as a multi-talented three-down back, and he catches the ball. If you go back to his early years, he almost had 100 catches 1 year. So in that offense, trying to take some of the pressure off the quarterback, he had a little bit of a pushback last year. People got a little concerned. Was he as good as we all thought? So I think he'll fit nicely, and I think the quarterback can throw.
And, Mark, I'll say this. I could argue the better signing for the Eagles yesterday was the Jets pass rusher Bryce Huff for 3 years at 17 per. They couldn't rush the passer at the end of the year. Their D-line got old overnight. That's a really nice signing, I think, for the Eagles.
Yep. Would you play him more than the Jets played him? He wasn't really a full-time player.
No, I play him a little more. I think I have to. But, I wouldn't have him be a 55-snap guy. I'd probably have to be a 45-snap guy.
I'm fascinated by the Eagles. The Kelsey thing in the middle of that, how does the push work this year? How does it affect that line? I still think that's a replacement that's going to be a big part of how the Eagles go.
You know, when I sat with Powers Johnson at the Combine, the center out of Oregon, and I know they drafted their – the – future center when Kelsey was going to retire, but he's doing quite nicely at guard. That kid, Powers Johnson, strongest kid. I said this to you guys last week, strongest guy that I've ever talked to in a weight room. I think he's the guy that could come in there and make sure the play still works. He is one brute.
Give me a team or two in which you either not liking what they're doing or you're still scratching your head trying to figure out what they're doing.
Well, I'm not going to repeat. We already had the conversation about the Dolphins and what they're going to be and who are they going to be when it's all said and done. Anthony Walker, Jordan Brooks, those guys don't excite me that their defense is going to be fixed. So I do worry about them. I think the Patriots are stuck in a bad place. I was glad they got Owenu done again. That guy, I thought he'd be the first lineman off the board and not to New England. That's how good I think he is. But they were able to retain his services. The Jets, what are they doing? There's nobody that's
like... I don't know. What are they doing? First off, if you're the Jets, how do you lose your good young players, number one? Number two, are you ever going to sign an offensive lineman? Come on.
I know. And signing John Simpson is not getting it done for me. So, yeah, it's a problem. And I don't know where they're going. You asked me for a negative answer, and that would be one for me to look at and say, I'm not so sure of that thing right there. Your point really is about Huff, who you brought up a minute ago. Huff should still be on your football team, and he's not.
Pat, you talked about the safety free agent class being really good. What else is, when we look at day two, where are the players, where are the positions where teams can get a bargain today? Because, I still think this is kind of the tier one shopping, if you will, but there'll be more one-year deals today. There'll be a few more bargains. Where are there bargains in free agency in your estimation?
Yeah, there's guys I really like. Where's Patrick Queen going? Patrick Queen is a good football player. He can't handle calling the defense. That was established, and they went out and got the Chicago Bear linebacker. But I like that guy a lot today. People seem not to be hung up on age. Kevin Zeitler can still play. Justin Simmons, he's 31, but he's a phenomenal football player. And I'm surprised he's still on the board. Josh Uche, I think there's a guy you probably can get cheap, and I like him. And then we'll see what happens with some of these other guys that maybe no one's excited about, but you're going to have Deshaun Elliott. There's a Dolphin. That guy played a lot. When I was making my point to the Dolphin fans, I basically said to him, are you paying attention? Elliott played 928 plays last year. Howard played 745. Raekwon Davis, you don't like him? Go find a big guy right now that can plug up the middle. He played 500 snaps. So those are the kind of guys I think you really need to get on top of as quickly as possible. You know who I'm not excited about? Tyron Smith. I don't trust him with the back. I think that guy, when was the last time he played a full season? I think it was 2017, Mark.
By the way, Patrick Queen to the Lions. The Lions linebackers were absolutely exposed in the NFC Championship game. For as good as some of their units are, that's how bad their linebacking core is. I think Patrick Queen, and don't they have like 40 plus million still?
I think they do.
If I'm the Lions, because I think also where you are in the draft, a good defensive player is going to fall to you also. Maybe McKistry even at corner or something like that. But I think I'd get Patrick Queen as a linebacker if I'm the Lions today.
No, I'm not fighting you on that at all. Obviously, the best guy on the board still is Danielle Hunter. He's just different than what's left. He's still a double-digit sack guy. I think everyone's a little nervous about paying him, but you asked who I'd go after today. I got to bring up Chase Young. You think he's shocked? And how do you think they felt in giving away their third-round pick for him and making no attempt to re-sign him? He's heading to the world of Jadeveon Clowney, one-year deals until he blossoms again. And maybe he never will. At least Clowney has played better, but Clowney's now over 30. We've been watching this act from him since he was 25. One-year deal, one-year deal, one-year deal, team after team.
I will say I like the Niners' move. Leonard Floyd is still a 10-sack-a-year guy, and now he'll replace Chase Young at end opposite Bosa for $10 million a year. I like that signing.
I do too. And they like them up in Buffalo. But I am surprised in first day that the number of guys over 30 are getting signed. And you can forget the quarterbacks in that equation, like Cousins, he's over 30. But you start looking at some of the guys that are signing that are over 30, and you're going to realize Floyd brings up the subject in my mind of guys getting signed. And you start going around. Za'Darius Smith gets a deal to come back. There's one. Autry, over 30, gets a deal to come back. Maybe Bobby Wagner gets one today. Grover Stewart's over 30, got a deal. Pollard, no, not him. Daquan Jones, another one, over 30. So, yeah, it's day one. And I know plenty of teams that won't sign guys over 30. And I counted 12 over 30 guys got contracts the first day.
Dallas didn't sign anybody. That surprised you?
Yes. I say this sarcastically because David's great at this. What was his quote? What was Jerry's quote last week? We're going to be all in.
We're all in.
All in.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Well, nobody on the planet thought all in meant no signings. You know, it was Seattle and them at 4 o'clock yesterday is the only two teams that didn't do something. And then Seattle got busy overnight, right? They started locking up. They were doing, I think there was a time zone issue with them. But Dallas, yeah, it's a surprise. The Cowboy fans will call today. They'll be furious.
Well, very quickly, who should they get? Like, you know, they need offensive line help. They also now need a running back. I mean, don't you think if you're the Cowboys, don't you have Aaron Jones signed before breakfast is over?
Yes. Yes. And I thought Derrick Henry was a good fit for them. Now, with Gus Edwards gone out of Baltimore, I'd say Henry's going to land up in Baltimore. But they needed a big back. They didn't have – Pollard couldn't do it. So they needed a big back. But I'll take Aaron Jones. I like him. I'll take Joe Mixon there. I'll take both of them there, to be honest with you. Jerry doesn't really care about guys that have some off-the-field issues, neighbors that get mad or whatever else happens in Joe's life.
10 seconds. Where's Justin Fields end up? And is it Chicago?
I think they're in a – first off, the Mac Jones thing surprised the world. It didn't surprise you, the three of us, as it relates to what they got, a six for him. So what's the market for Justin? I think if you're willing to give him away, you can get rid of him. But you better have a backup there. I would love to see a guy like Flacco there just to help the young quarterback learn how to be a quarterback.
Pat Kerwin, NFL Radio's Moving the Chains on Miller & Moulton.
Welcome back to Miller & Moulton. Only on the Florida Sports Network.
Minutes until the top of the hour. Our final segment along the network, the Diamond District Bonus Hour, awaits for the 239, and a lot to talk about in the 239 yesterday. We'll get to it in a bit. So, day two of free agent frenzy. Can we just sidebar for a second? I know we asked David Sampson, you asked the question, hey, does baseball look at yesterday in the NFL and go, man, we got to create something like this? And he says, can't do it without a cap. I disagree. If you set it up so that free agency, you know, you just set it up.
Here's the only question I have that I don't know the answer to, David, and I would that break any? Would that violate any current CBA? And if they had to reopen negotiations in order to do that, because as David mentioned, the players union would never allow it. So that's the only thing. And if I'm baseball, I would explore. I would give the players something for this week. And I don't mean this exactly, but you know what I'm saying.
Right. Like the new baseball year begins, I believe, 7 days after the World Series ends. So if it's a short playoffs and a short series, then the next business year begins a few days sooner. But if we have extended playoffs and a 7-game World Series, then the business year doesn't start for a few more days. But you're right, Mark. It would have to be collectively bargained. I think I'm collectively bargaining this.
And I think I'm willing to give, I don't know what it is I'm willing to give the players, but I'm willing to look at giving them something to create the type of hype that, skip football for a second. The NBA has this kind of hype with free agency. You're trying to be on par with that league. You're never going to be on par with the NFL again. That's never going to happen. But you're a distant third when it comes to off-season talk of the three big leagues in our country. Distant third.
I mean, think about what happened in the NFL yesterday. And to realize that the two best pitchers, I mean, Otani obviously is a freak and he can't pitch this year because of his elbow. But the two best pitchers, arguably, that are on the free agent market in baseball are still unsigned. It's March 12th. The equivalent of this in the NFL, and I'm not counting the two-game Dodgers-Padres series that starts 10 days from now in Korea. I mean, opening day in baseball is around what, the 28th of March, 29th? So we're a little over 2 weeks. I mean, 2 weeks Thursday, I think, opening day baseball, 2 weeks Friday, something like that. Think about where we are right now. Imagine if the two best NFL free agents, the season starts September 5th this coming year. So that means on what, August 20th, they're still unsigned? I mean, that's how absurd this is.
And to me, pitchers are kind of like quarterbacks. You know, this isn't just this is Kirk Cousins still sitting on the shelf in early to mid August.
Right. I mean, it's nuts. It's nuts.
And this is what also, we used to have in football. You know, when we had this in football, when we didn't have the whole rookie wage scale, it was commonplace in football. They fixed their problem.
And I find it's interesting in a way that David Sampson said the reason that you have what you have in the NFL is because of a cap. Okay, but I could argue without a cap, isn't there in theory more money to spend? I mean, right? I mean, in the NFL, think about it. They're spending $255 million on 51 guys is the cap. Even though obviously there's more guys than that on the roster, the first 51 count against the cap. Well, in baseball, you're spending, I mean, hell, there's a half a dozen teams that are spending that kind of money on 26 guys. I mean, the average baseball player makes far more than the average NFL player. I just think you need to set it up. And yeah, there'll be resistance. But I don't know what to tell you. I mean, the players have been arguing forever, Mark, that baseball has to do a better job of marketing the sport. See, this is where if I'm Manfred, I turn and look right at him and go, we're trying to market the sport here. Trying to create moments in the offseason, get people excited, market you guys. And also, quite frankly, so that what has just happened to Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell, and it's not going to happen to you anymore. We're going to create a demand. Better sign these guys or they're going to be gone.
The Yankees are going to have to sign Snell, aren't they? I mean, if David Sampson's right about Gerrit Cole, that it's going to be some time. I mean, that basically his analysis of it is that they know the results of an MRI instantly. There's no waiting. They don't have to wait to go to the doctor in Major League Baseball. And that they're just trying to formulate how they're going to handle this. Don't they got to go sign Snell?
Well, you can argue, forget Gerrit Cole. Don't they have to sign Blake Snell? You're the Yankees. You charge $14 for a Heineken.
Okay. First off, are you sure it's still 14? Because I think it's up to at least 20. I'm not even joking when I say that. I think if it was a $14 Heineken, that would be cheap anymore at a ballpark.
I'll find out. You're right. It's probably at least 16 by now.
I bet you it's 20. Years ago. Exactly.
But think about this, though. I mean, if you're baseball, don't you want to create something like this? I mean, think about two networks like clockwork can set their programming. NFL Network and ESPN/ESPN2 blocked off 3 days, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And blocked off, I mean, the NFL Network's blocking off 3 8-hour shifts to cover this. Now, granted, you could argue it's the NFL Network, but Major League Baseball Network, full team coverage of the winter meetings in Nashville. Do you know what happened? Nothing. 4 days they were there. 4 days they were there. Nothing happened. That's what we're talking about. Don't you have to, in the NBA, between July 1st and July 7th, what happens? Hell breaks loose. What happens in the 3 days leading up to the NHL trade deadline, Mark?
All hell breaks loose.
Right. I just think if you're baseball, you got to, come on now. 2020s, get with the program here. Create some excitement. Why are you letting Scott Boras and CAA in a few places control your narrative? I think you got to take this back. Okay. So apparently Aaron Jones is going to the Vikings. Is that what we're hearing?
That's what we're hearing, and I've not seen it to confirm it.
By the way, are Packers fans going to be as bent out of shape as some Giants fans? I mean, what's the difference? The Giants didn't offer Saquon an extension. They didn't sign him long term. Packers cut Aaron Jones. Isn't it kind of the same thing? Isn't it?
Not in the fans' eyes, obviously, because he could have still signed. See, he could have still signed with the Giants for less money, less years, less guaranteed money. But damn it, he would have been loyal to the Giants, and that's what the fans are expecting of him.
That's our poll question. Your thoughts on Saquon, the Giant, signing with the Eagles. By the way, do you know Mark Bavaro ended his career with the Eagles for 2 years? Mark Bavaro, very good player. Instrumental part of two Super Bowl champion Giants teams. When you think about the Giants of the mid and late 80s and the 1990 Super Bowl team, you think of the defense. But when you think of the offense, you think of Sims and Bavaro. Yeah, he played his last 2 years of his career in Philadelphia. It wasn't a problem.
The Giants just don't know how to be. Giant fan doesn't know how to be mad at the Giants organization today, because that's who they should be mad at.
Damn right they should, Mark. You're damn right they should. And yeah, he's a running back. He's gotten hurt. He misses on average of 3 games a year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He missed his 3 games last year. I get it. I get it. You didn't want to pay him. You didn't want to pay a running back to play 13 or 14 games and play him basically $1 million a game. I get it. But then don't complain. You got Devin Singletary at half price, which is good because he's half the player.
What the problem is with the Giants fan today is that the majority of the Giants fans own one jersey. And it's a Saquon Barkley jersey. And these things aren't cheap anymore.
I don't know. I think Tommy DeVito probably sold a lot.
Man, it was funny walking through the parking lot the night that they played the Packers. And it was lousy weather, too, so people weren't tailgating like they normally do. They were making their way into the stadium earlier. And, oh, yeah, chicken cutlets there. Oh, yeah. They were all in. But Saquon Barkley, that bastard, he's a bum. He's dead to me. Okay. All right.
It's just fans being fans. David, you're a rational thinker. You zoom out and look at the big picture. A lot of fans don't do that. You got to keep in mind.
I will say, if this was last year, okay, I could actually understand a Giant fan being upset. But come on now. He wanted a long-term deal, and you went, nah, we're good. 1 year tag, $10 million bucks. And he's like, come on, look at my production. I'm worth more than $10 million a year. And they went, nah, 1 year, $10 million, that's it.
7 of 10 say no, it's business. It's our poll question. If you were a Giants fan, would you be mad at Saquon Barkley for signing with the Eagles? 30% of you say yes, he's dead to me, but 70% say it's business.
Good, good. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah, we're not doing this on New York Sports Talk Radio today.
No, this ain't FAN in New York. No, this isn't.
It's a long way away from that. These are Dolphin fans and Bucks fans and Jags fans and all kinds of fans voting on this poll that have no interest in that. Probably a bunch of Eagles fans doing the same voting.
But, you know, you have guys on your team. I'm curious how many Packer fans are going to be bummed when Aaron Jones is a Viking. Well, what the hell is he supposed to do? They threw him out on the street. I actually like the Josh Jacobs signing. He's younger. This point in his career, I think he's more durable. And as Pat went through it, it's basically a series of one-year contracts. $12 million a year, 4 one-year contracts. Year or two into this, they decide, I don't think we want to go forward. They don't have to. How about that?
Right. As you said, the four-year, $48 million deal is a $12.5 million guarantee. It's
a one-year deal.
Very team-friendly.
So it looks like now they're thinking Derrick Henry in Baltimore to replace Gus Edwards.
That'll be something.
That offense?
That'll be something. That AFC North, kids, is really good.
Is there a better division in sports right now than the AFC North? Is this like when the SEC West a few years ago was at its absolute peak? I mean, seriously.
No, because right now the Red Sox are bringing down I'd like to say the AL East, but I don't think Boston's good enough to bring that division up there. Because the other four are damn good.
They are. But, I mean, the Bengals finished last.
No, I got you.
The worst team in the AFC North was in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Put it that way.
The worst quarterback in the division is either Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson.
Right. That's pretty good.
The third best coach in the division is a two-time Coach of the Year winner.
Kevin Stefanski.
Day two of free agency is upon us. Aaron Jones signing with the Vikings already. Along the network, enjoy the rest of your day. In the 239, this little thing called the Diamond District Bonus Hour. That's what we do next.